weekdays from 4.
105 Drive with Julian Clover.
Seeing you home.
Cambridge 105.
The Gadget Guide.
Seems a while since we've done one of these together.
I think we did one with Tim last time.
We did.
You did do one with Tim last time.
You were gallivanting somewhere doing something interesting.
I think I might have been sleeping, actually, if it was election day.
It was. You were recovering from a late night and long evening.
Something like that. Anyway, lots to talk about as ever.
Yes, welcome along to Gadget Guide number 111, all the ones. And we'll be talking after the travel at 22 about tracking things. Tracking
how to track things.
Yes, tracking people, tracking car keys, tracking everything you own. A whole load of different technology for that. We'll come
but
to
first
that.
First, the news.
Yes, in a moment. Virgin Media, they've been in the news with a security-related story today. It was interesting. This is the reports that if you have a Virgin Media Super Hub 2...
Which is their most current
They do have the 3, I think, now. Maybe it's not quite been released, but it's on the cards anyway.
Lots of people have got these, nearly a million people apparently.
Yep, 2 and the 2AC. People are being encouraged to change their passwords.
So which password is this?
This is the one for the administrative interface.
Right.
Okay, and that's because some researchers have found some vulnerabilities. It's interesting, if you read the news reports, which seem to be claiming credit for this, I don't think that they were the ones that discovered the original vulnerability. The original discovery seems to have been a company called Conextus, who are some security researchers. And they made the original discovery back in October last year. But they actually reported it very responsibly. They reported it to Virgin. They then had time to go away, fix the underlying problem, work with the people who manufacture these. And then, once they'd got the fix ready... Then it all went public.
I think Super Hub 2 is a Netgear device.
Yeah, Netgear and, where is it? Context, I think, possibly. Context is the research company. And basically the problem was they found a flaw where you had to be on the local network, but if you had some malware, something nasty on your machine, it could basically replace the configuration on your Super Hub.
And of course the problem is a lot of these have got a guest network, so you might have a visitor who has malware on their device that is going to create the problem.
Yes, so the problem here was that you could basically fake a restore of a configuration. So using a default password, which in the case of the Super Hub 2 was... change me.
Okay. So a well-documented
Very default. Well-documented, and they were all using the same default password. Now, people could change the password.
But not many people did.
The Super Hub 3, by the way, goes for a much more complex, randomly generated, different for each device password. So they've fixed that already. But the Super Hub 2, basically you could replace its configuration. That meant you could then open up other holes in the firewall.
Or create your own wireless network on it and then leave the property and do some dodgy things to everything that's connected to that network.
Exactly. So Virgin have issued advice. They've already actually fixed the underlying problem, the underlying bug in the firmware. That's been deployed. You shouldn't have to do anything at all about that. That'll have just rolled out automatically. But they are advising that you do go and change your password if you have one of these Super Hub 2s.
If you're on Virgin, go and check your password. Change it from Change Me.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. So there we go. That one's in the news at the moment. As always, it's one of these things you do just have to keep on top of any of these updates. Be aware of this. Don't use the same password for different services. All the stuff that we've said before. Facebook, they've been at it as well today in the news, haven't they? They've launched a new program. This is the Online Civil Courage Initiative, in conjunction with a few other partners. And this is to try and counter extremist hate speech on the internet.
So they're going to have a dedicated team of people who can actually deal with things if you discover them. So they'll be able to actually take things down quicker. Because they've been criticised in the past, so have all the other online social media sharing things like YouTube and so on, of, you know, something has been posted online that is really bad and shouldn't be posted online, but it's taken hours to be removed. So they're putting a team behind this that will actually help remove problems a lot quicker.
It is worth bearing in mind the sheer amount of data we're talking about here. I've forgotten exactly the stats,
so
but
the
it's
amount
something...
of Facebook posts per second.
Exactly, and I seem to remember YouTube is something along the lines of 300 hours of YouTube content are created every minute.
Which is probably a figure from a year or two ago.
Probably. You could just imagine if you thought you were going to have a team of people reviewing everything that was uploaded to YouTube, you just can't do that. Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, WhatsApp, all of these services creating an enormous amount of content. That said, there is clearly a problem.
Yes.
And if you go and look at the YouTube comments or the Twitter replies or the Facebook comments to some of these things, there is clearly a problem with online abuse.
Yes.
A lot of people feeling perhaps safe behind an anonymous identity, as well as, you know, a lot of other issues. So it's great to see that they're tackling this sort of thing. I suspect that this isn't going to solve it on its own, but it's a step in the right direction, at least.
It is, and at least it shows that they are thinking about it and they have taken awareness of the issue, rather than just going, oh, well, you know, our standard is we'll remove it when we get notified. They're being a bit more proactive.
Yeah.
New toys.
Yes.
New toys.
Yes, I got the email. Having bought the previous generation of phone, I got a new phone a month or two back. They then delighted in sending me an email saying, by the way, your phone's now out of date.
Yes, this is OnePlus, the almost independent manufacturer who sneaked in and came along with a product a few years ago, the OnePlus One, which was a very, very good top-spec phone for a fraction of the price of all the other top-spec phones, about a quarter of the price originally when they first came out.
Yeah, came in about £200, I think.
Yep, £200. Where we were paying sort of £600-£700 for a phone with the same sort of features. They've just launched their OnePlus 5. Orders will be taken on the 27th of June, so you've got 4 days to wait before you can place the order.
Save up your pennies, yep.
Starting from £449.
Okay, so they have gone in a little bit more at the premium end of the market.
They're still a couple of £100 cheaper than the other high-end phones from the likes of LG, Samsung, Apple.
That's true, yep.
It's still a respectable price point. Very good list of features, so it's worth having a look at the website if you are shopping for a new phone. It's quite a nice contender. It's got some great features in it.
Some very nice camera features. They've actually got dual cameras.
Yes, to improve contrast, to improve focus. Very large aperture, so it'll work better in low light. And, yeah, fantastic phone for taking photos.
Little bit of criticism of the display. It's only, in inverted commas, only full HD, so this is 1080p.
Yeah, not 4K.
Some of the later phones are releasing 4K screens. Arguable as to whether on a 5-inch display you can actually see the difference, or whether you care about the difference.
I've got a Samsung Galaxy S8. I can flip between the two.
It's very
difficult to notice the difference unless you are watching a 4K video on a streaming service. And then you can just notice it when you hold it up close. You can't really tell for average day-to-day use. So I wouldn't really discount the screen as a reason to not go for the OnePlus 5.
Very good. Well, there we go. That's the OnePlus 5. Maybe something on your shopping list if you're looking for a new phone. We'll be back after the travel with everything about tracking.
I guess what we're going to do is we're going to focus mainly on Bluetooth low-energy trackers, because there are other ways of tracking things, but these ones have become prevalent and they're also not ridiculously expensive.
You can buy these in John Lewis, can't you? It kind of proves the point.
Yes,
now, let's just start out first and say that these sorts of trackers, Bluetooth low-energy, or sometimes called iBeacon, is the same technology. These are for finding stuff generally near to you.
Yes, so within about 30 metres, indoors possibly a bit less, so in the same house as you,
yep.
Generally, the same average British house as you.
So it might be, where have I put my car keys down?
Yes, or where's my wallet, or where's my bag, things like that. The challenge, of course, in a house is it upstairs or downstairs?
Yes.
That can be quite a fun one, because you know it's in the house, but do you know where in the house? So what you've got to think about is how these things work. So they use Bluetooth to talk to your phone generally. So you'll have an app on your phone that you can go, show me where my thing is.
And this is the same technology as you might use for your hands-free kit, but optimized for very, very good battery life. So this isn't talking about trackers that you need to charge up every night.
No.
It's trackers that you might need to change the battery on once every 6 months, once every year.
Yes. Now, some of them have changeable batteries, some of them don't. We'll come on to that. But what these can't do is these do not have GPS in them.
Right. So if you've
lost your keys in the middle of a field, you can't actually leave the field and then expect to find that your keys are flagging up as being in the field.
Now, some of them go a little way to working around that by saying it's near this phone and I know where the phone is.
Yes, so some of them have got quite clever services. We'll talk about the one that does that, but you've got to think about what you might use it to track. So we've said keys, wallet, bag. How about your bicycle, things like that?
Oh, that's a good idea. Yes.
Skateboard, all those sort of things that you might carry around with you. Your bag, because you might leave your bag. Now, other features to consider. Can you change the battery? So one of the more popular ones, which we'll come on to, you can't change the battery, but they guarantee that their battery will last a full year.
Right. So if it's cheap to buy, And it'll last a year.
Now, that's a relative thing. If it's cheap to buy at £15, whereas the battery costs less than a pound, it almost feels that you shouldn't be buying a new one at that sort of price difference. However, for that £15, they're adding in some service. So we'll come on to that in a bit. Now, a lot of these have got an alarm in them as well, so you can actually make a noise.
Yep.
So you can find
it. Ideal for setting off in conferences by mistake, I find.
I have to say, just as a slight direction, last night I lost my phone at home. And I had exactly this problem. I knew that I had it at home because I'd checked my email as I came in. Couldn't find it. Go to the Google Find My Device service on your PC or on your tablet, and you can press the Play Sound button.
And your phone will make a noise.
Even if my phone is on silent, which it is, it will still make a noise.
Yep. Now, similar stuff on the Apple devices, and you go to your iCloud account and you can find your iPhone as well.
Very useful.
Range is important. Now, all of these offer different ranges. Some of them offer or claim to offer 200 feet.
Yeah,
I'll take that with a pinch of salt.
That'll work 200 feet across a field or across a car park.
So in a field, if you have dropped in a field and you are in the same field, you'll probably be able to find them. So, unless it's muddy Glastonbury, good chance of finding your stuff. Now, one of the other interesting features is a thing called geofencing. So this is actually alerting you when you get away from an area or when you get away from your tracker.
Now, this could be useful. You mentioned tracking bicycles earlier. Mm-hmm. This could be very useful. You put a tracker on your bike.
Park it at home.
Someone walks off with your bike, you get an alert on your phone.
Yep.
You should probably go and look at that. And you can set on a lot of these, you can set times as well. So it's like, if my bike leaves my house or leaves where I am after midnight and
it's
before 8 a.m., then you should
alert
me on this.
Send me lots of alerts, make lots of noise. Now, the other one is, can it work in the other direction? You've lost your phone. If you had a paired tracking device, can you push a button on that and make your phone make a noise? Because that's a useful feature. And operating in reverse. Now, we talked about finding it via other people's phone. This is crowdsourced location. So this is where if you're using the same sort of tracking device as me, your phone's out of range or your phone's gone flat, my phone can locate your stuff anonymously and enable you to find things.
Yep, so you as the third party,
I don't know,
you don't
your
know
device,
that it's being located.
But I can flag that my device is seeing your thing.
Yep. Now, I've had alerts like that. I've had alerts for, say, sometimes for whatever reason, my tracker doesn't track, but all of a sudden I'll get an alert to say that a third-party device has found my bag for me, which is useful because the bag is usually around my shoulder at that point.
Yes. Now, it's worth saying, the way that fundamentally all of these devices work is that they sit there, and once every so often, it's normally once every few seconds, they will just broadcast a little radio beacon saying, I'm here and I'm this device. They have a random identifier, and that just is a string of random numbers, and it just says, hello, I exist, I'm here. And anyone can hear that. What they can't do is know that it's
what
your
it
device.
Is,
it can't know that it's your keys. But what it can do is say, this device that I've seen before, I'm now seeing again.
Yes, and they can do clever things with the software, like work out how far away it is based on the signal strength that it gets from the device. So that gives you an idea of it's...
You do the hotter, colder
away,
thing.
10 meters, and find the device, literally. Yeah.
You walk towards where you think it might be. If the strength goes up, you're getting closer. If it goes down, you're probably getting further away.
So let's talk about the most popular one that's out there, which is, I know Julian is a user of these, and this is the Tile. Now, Tile has not got a user-changeable battery. So as we said before, that means that after a year, you have to buy a new one. Which you might think, that's a bit expensive. Now, you can get pretty good deals on these. So everyone's favourite online emporium, the likes of Amazon, you can buy them for about £19. So
okay, that's not too bad.
You can buy them in John Lewis, Argos, Currys and so on for about £23.
So you're basically looking at £20 a year for tracking your car keys.
But that means it comes with all those services.
I look at almost £100 a year. I've got four of the things. That's why I'm not entirely sure if that's the right one for me.
If
it's a lot of money.
If you want four, there is a four-pack.
Okay.
And the four-pack is £65. So suddenly you're getting down to about £15, £16 a unit.
And they've also got a nice little slim one, which goes in the wallet too, which is quite good.
They do have a slim one, so that's about £15, £16 as well, depending on where you buy them from. It's worth shopping around for these things.
Is it best to buy from the manufacturer, or do you need to hunt the electronic stop?
Is they are fully aware that people are upset with the fact that you can't change the battery. So what they have is they have a loyalty program where if you go onto their website, you can buy replacements at a discounted rate.
if you've bought them before.
If you've bought them before. So if you're an existing customer, you can log on and get discounted rates. I'm not sure if you've done that yet, Julian.
I might have to check.
You might have to check that. Anyway,
unless you convince me that I should be buying another one instead, of course.
Well, we've looked at other ones. So the other one that comes up second as the second best is the Track R. So Track and then the letter R. Not as readily available in the UK, although Amazon are selling them. These come in at £29 each.
Ooh, that's a bit more pricey, isn't it?
They get a lower score on average on ratings, but you can change the battery.
Ah, see. Okay. That's about, well, it depends how often you change the battery. And if you're paying £30, which is already more than tile, and you're changing a battery quite regularly...
Yeah, so you're double the cost on the unit. You need it to last at least 2 years. If you figure it that way, and yeah, I mean, it doesn't look as well built as the tile, to be honest. Because you're going to have to change the battery. There is a compartment to open. There is a potential with water ingress. All those sort of things that a sealed unit can get away with actually having the guarantee that this unit is going to survive almost any conditions, including baggage handling. Another useful thing to do with it is put it on your luggage when you travel.
Yes. Oh, that's a good point, actually. I forgot about that one.
Hadn't you thought about doing that?
No, absolutely not.
Especially if you're travelling through one of the airports where there might be baggage handling strikes and so on.
Has
my bag made it to this airport?
You can often actually see them if they're in the hold of the aeroplane. You can still sometimes see it through the floor.
It's still sending a signal, isn't
exactly,
it?
Exactly, exactly. And you are allowed to fly with that.
And you can't turn them off. So, yes, they are flight safe.
Yep.
So, yes, it's worth shopping around. I think we'd still probably recommend the tile if you're getting started with it. Buy multi-pack. That way you're going to get a good discounted deal on them. But have a look at the offers on Tile's own website about whether you can actually buy discounted ones in a year's time.
There is one other one that I will just mention, just because it takes a
Kickstarter one.
It's a slightly different approach. So these ones that we've mentioned so far, the Tracker and the Tile, are Bluetooth low energy to each device you want to track. There's an Indiegogo campaign called Gear Eye. And the idea of that is it's gear management when you've got lots of things you want to track together. So you have one smart device. Those are fairly expensive, about 100 US dollars, £60-70, that you put in, for example, your camera bag. And then you have a lot of very cheap stickers that you attach to each thing. So if you're a photographer, you might stick a sticker to your lens, a sticker to your camera, a sticker to your flash, and so on. And what you can then do is go to a mobile app and say, tell me all of the items I currently have in my bag.
So it's RFID,
very clever.
RFID tags like you're seeing used in supermarkets and clothing stores to automatically inventory your bag.
Exactly. So you can say, actually, I'm doing a photo shoot. Do I have all of the things that I need to do my normal photo shoot? Do I have all
now,
the things I need for an outdoor photo shoot?
Can you ask it to tell you which thing you're missing?
Yes.
Cool. Yep.
So you can make lists of equipment and it'll tell you what's not on that list.
What sort of price tag are we talking ballpark?
$130 starting price. That's including 20 tags. And one of these dongles.
Okay, so I think for kit lists, certainly a good idea.
There we go, that's all we've got time for tonight. We'll be back in a couple of weeks with the next Gadget Guide.